Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
Today, the Padres wrap up their road trip with the last of four in Colorado. And with this great offseason and hot start to the year, our host Jesse Agler feels like his Padres reality has been changed forever.
Consider my life forever altered.
Meanwhile, our other co-host Randy Jones already has his sights set on the World Series so he can celebrate like a true champion.
I'm going to Disneyland.
Now, coming to you from the AMR studio, it's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, with your hosts Jesse Agler and Randy Jones.
Welcome, Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines. It's 11 o'clock in the morning on Thursday, April 23rd, 2015. That is Point Loma. A little bit hazy again today. A little, this is what they call the May gray.
Well, yeah, we're supposed to get maybe a little weather, a little moisture, but I haven't seen it yet.
Hopefully it holds off nicely for three exciting baseball games this weekend. Welcome to the AMR studio at Petco Park with Randy Jones. I am Jesse Agler. And we got a 12-10 first pitch today?
12-10, nice and early.
Get
them home early. Awesome.
That's it. Get on the airplane. Fly from Denver to Lindbergh here in San Diego. And then you get a little bit of time to rest and relax before you open up a big weekend series against the Dodgers tomorrow right here.
Exactly. Make that plane flight really nice, you know, by taking three out of four, winning today, getaway day. Always nice to win. Make that flight.
It feels like a big one today.
Well,
here's the thing, and I said this on yesterday's show. When the series against Colorado started, I said, I'll take two because that's a winning road trip. You know, I'll take the split of the four, and I'm fine. But then after they won the first two in Colorado, I was like, nah, I want at least three. And the last one always seems like it carries a little bit more weight. I know not mathematically. I know not in the standings. I understand, you know, 162nd of the schedule is made up by today's game.
Right.
But, like, psychologically, am I crazy here? You played the game.
No. It's just, you know, some momentum, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, a little disappointed. You know, you come back last night, you really had a chance to win that ball game. You had your hands on it, but, you know, got away. Like the one in Chicago, those two losses. Amazing how this ball club battled back. They were in both of those ball games, and you know, they've tied them up and you know, finally coughed it up.
We're seeing a lot of battling back, huh?
Yes.
That's a part of the MO. That's different than momentum. That's modus operandi. That's Latin. But part of the MO seems to be that they really don't get bothered or concerned by a deficit at any point in the game.
At any point in the game, you know, and you as a fan, you know, prototypically don't get too worried about it.
Yeah.
Where last year was a little bit different.
It's unbelievable because it's been 2 weeks, Randy, and it's a completely different situation.
Oh, it is. Well, when you see what we're doing with runners in scoring position, the phenomenal number like the other day, 9 for 12.
Yeah, you love
that. That's scary. You know, that's awesome. Unbelievable. Only three opportunities last night, but they're going to have games like that when they're well pitched, and, you know, it's going to happen. You know, but I just think you know this lineup. You know, they just grind. I mean, you're going to get 27 outs. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, they're going to make you work for it. It's not going to be easy on opposing pitchers, be it starter or reliever. So it was another comeback last night. Unfortunately, Benoit and Kelly in the eighth and the ninth, they did not kind of hold up their end of it, I guess, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know, I'm tempted to say that'll happen, but it's happened a few times already here in the first 2 weeks.
Yeah, a little concerned about that the first 2 weeks, and it's only because expectations are so high. From the past two or three years, 4 years, how good this bullpen's been at slamming the door and getting the job done. And for the first 2 weeks to have these too many hiccups, I'm a little bit surprised. And we'll right the ship, of course. I don't think anybody's going to hit a panic button. But
yeah,
disappointed from the battle back and not come away from the win in those situations.
Yeah, you'd like to see it happen. Now, yes, there were obviously some positives yesterday. Solarte, man, first inning home run. He keeps that homer streak going. And he has been really, really good in the first 2 weeks of the season.
He really has. I mean, his versatility and what he's done. I mean, that's why you get playing time. You know, Buddy's going to go with a hot hand, and I say Solarte is right now. He's hot.
He's maybe the hottest hand of all the hands on the Padre team. So you're down 3-1 after five last night. In the sixth inning, Will Myers a home run to make it a 3-2 game, and then in the seventh, Derek Norris an RBI double to tie it, and Corey Spangenberg an RBI double to take the lead. As we mentioned, Benoit and Kelly would give it away. My imagination or do Norris and Myers seem to be in the middle of it like every single night?
Yeah, they really are. Top of the lineup is just getting the job done, and Yonder Alonso. Let's not forget about Yonder.
Hitting
365 now, two more hits last night. You know, down in the lineup a little bit. You know, for the most part, in the early in the season, and I like that. Take the pressure off of him a little bit. I think he's seeing some awfully good pitches and being very selective. I like it.
Absolutely. We'll talk more about today's starting lineup because it is a different-looking lineup, which shouldn't be any surprise. A day game, an early game after a night game, obviously. Last game of the series, last game of the road trip. It's a good opportunity to rest some guys,
yes.
A good opportunity to get a start for another couple of guys.
Especially with a big weekend coming up.
Exactly,
good
against
idea.
The Dodgers here at Petco Park. So we'll talk about today's lineup coming up in a little bit. Last night they battled the bullpen. You know, it's a thing. Dickerson, was that a Coors blast? I mean, it looked like Benoit kind of left it up for him, and
no,
he hit it really hard.
It was a mistake.
Yeah.
You know, most of them I saw, it's not like I haven't seen anybody square up on a really good pitch down and away or down and in, you know, per se. It's mostly mistakes that are up in the strike zone, and they've squared up on them.
Yeah. Another thing I want to touch on from yesterday's game, Derek Norris with the arm. They're going to learn, right? I mean,
what are they doing?
This isn't going to last very long.
They continue to try to steal third. What are they thinking? I mean, I don't get it. When are they going to get the scouting report? I mean, I am absolutely amazed how much they're trying to run on him. And maybe that's the book on Derek Norris.
Does it all go? Well, that's what I was going to ask.
He didn't get the memo.
Does it all go back to that wild card game against Kansas City last year?
Apparently, I have no idea.
Because the Royals ran wild, and everybody said, "Oh man, Derek Norris, blah blah blah," forgetting two very key things. One, the Royals have some of the best base dealers in baseball. That wasn't like Nick Hundley trying to take second base.
Exactly.
I mean, that was Lorenzo Cain. It's a big, big difference. The second thing was who started that game for the Oakland Athletics? John Lester, who can't throw to first.
You're getting good jumps. You know, I wanted to compliment too. The pitcher doing a better job of holding guys, I think. And it's just that that 1 millisecond or half a second that you cost that runner. That's the difference from Derek Norris throwing a guy out and not throwing him out.
Yes,
but he's just done an outstanding job so far.
It's been awesome. These 4-game series are weird, right?
Yeah.
Does it a player? Does it affect you? Does it impact you at all? Does it get in your head? Because me I don't like 4-game series. I don't know.
A little long. It didn't affect you. Once the bell rings, it gets a 12-10 and. Hey, you're playing another game, but, there's no rubber match. I don't hate that.
Yeah, no, we
no
love
rubber game.
I love the rubber games.
I love the rubber
games. It's our favorite kind of game.
It is.
Outside of a sweep game.
Well, that's even better.
Yeah, a
you want to win 3 in a row, that doesn't hurt my feelings, but.
No, I understand.
We've got to come up with a name with this. I don't know what it is.
I mean, is it.
Win the series.
It's not. Yeah, you're either winning the series. The Padres have only once, by the way, won a 4-game series in Colorado. I think it was like 1997, the only time they've taken 3 out of 4 at Coors Field.
They had a real opportunity, and, obviously last night. And, like I say, a new lineup today, but still. The brunt of that lineup, the momentum is solid with the Padres.
Yeah, very much so.
Playing
Tyson
good.
Ross and Jordan Lyles will be the starting pitchers today. We'll talk about that pitching matchup. We'll talk about, obviously, today's starting lineup and plenty more stuff as well. It's an interactive show, Randy. As you know, the folks, they can tweet at us using the hashtag PadresSH on Twitter. That's the hashtag if you want to join the conversation or ask Randy a question or make a comment about whatever it is. We're usually pretty much all over the place here. So that's the hashtag on Twitter. You can also, as a reminder, go to Padres.com/social hour where people can chat with one another, watch the show. So if you can't get near a television or a radio, you can watch the show and chat with other fans at Padres.com/social hour. Non-Marver Gwintelligence, a.k.a. big Padre fan, is in the live chat, and he says, hopefully you guys will be discussing that 70 slide of RJ that was unearthed on eBay yesterday. Whatever are you talking about?
Uh-huh.
What are you? Oh, that?
Oh, that one.
Oh, my. Now, first of all, my only question, no, that's a lie. One of my many questions is, were you filming an episode of Chips here? Is that part of what's going on?
Okay, no, it's not an episode of Chips.
Okay, which, by the way, was a tremendous show. Tremendous.
Yes.
I loved that show as a kid.
Good show.
Oh, man, did I love that show. But it looks like it could be the filming of an episode of Chips. So this showed up on eBay yesterday. Padres 360, by the way, tremendous people and really big Padre fans. They love to write and tweet about the Padres. So they unearthed this thing on eBay, and it's a picture of you and a California Highway Patrol officer. For those listening on radio, Randy is shirtless and appears to be wearing jeans.
Big fro, though, big
with
fro.
With the big fro,
yep.
Talking to a CHP officer on a motorcycle.
A little tidbit, I know that I think his name is Chuck. He was a local, we had high patrolmen that were policing Poway at that time in the mid-70s. And I know that's where it's at. And also, he part-time, he worked overtime at the ballpark.
Okay.
Many times he'd be down there as part of security.
So who took this picture? Some paparazzi?
I have no idea.
So you didn't know that picture was out there?
I had no clue until yesterday.
So you had never seen this photograph until yesterday?
Not in my life. I don't know where that came from.
I mean, you look like a model. Like, you look like you could have been in some fashion magazine in the 70s.
I can tell the background. It's Poway. Probably looks like Durholland Road.
I like that you know the intersection.
Yeah, I actually do. Yeah,
and it takes you back. What was the first thing that went through your head when this popped up on Twitter yesterday?
Where in the world did it come from? That's how could somebody have this for almost 40 years, and now it pops up?
That's awesome.
That's amazing.
That's a great picture.
Actually, I went on eBay and thinking about bidding on it.
We should – Blooper, do we have a Padres Social Hour eBay account?
Is that not yet, but we can.
Yeah, no, I think we need all of this. We need
to have some fun with it.
Put it right up here.
Well, it started at $125, the pitcher did on eBay.
Yeah, what's
and
it up to?
This morning it was up to $250.
$250?
Oh, man.
I will pay at least $275 for that.
I love it.
Maybe $290 if you're really pushing
me. I don't know,
man.
I might go a five spot, too, if I push
it. Oh, man. All right. We'll start digging for change in our couches here on the Social Hour set.
I love it.
And see if we can't come
That's
up
awesome.
With a little fun for that. I mean, just a sensational, sensational photograph. All right. We'll take a break when we come back. We got a bunch of Twitter stuff coming in addition to great pictures of Randy from the 70s, questions and comments about last night's game. Also, I want to talk a little bit about how closers approach games. We had Craig Kimbrell on the show, the first homestand of the season, and he gave us his way of approaching the ninth inning or a save situation. We also had a similar conversation with Houston Street last year. Two wildly successful closers in baseball that seem to come at it very, very differently. I want to get Randy's take on how closers approach those save situations. We'll do that as well as your Twitter questions when we come back. Remember, every Sunday home game is Kids Fest at the Park at the Park, featuring autographed signings from current Padre players, balloon artists, face painters, and more. Bring the family for the next Kids Fest this Sunday as the Padres take on the Dodgers. Get your tickets at Padres.com. Hey, it's family fun at the Park at the Park. Kids Fest this Sunday right here at Petco. We'll take a break, come back, Twitter questions, and some closer talk. Padres Social Hour presented by United Airlines continues next.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back. Padres Social Hour presented by United Airlines with Randy Jones. I'm Jesse Agler. A little bit overcast in San Diego today. Hopefully the weather is good all weekend. Dodgers in town Friday night, Saturday night, the baseball night in San Diego, and then the Sunday afternoon game back here at the AMR studios. We're going to talk about closers in a little bit and the different approaches the different guys take when they come in those save situations. We have been very, very lucky here in San Diego. All of the great closers have been through here, and one of the best right now in Craig Kimbrell. So we'll talk about that. We'll hear from Kimbrell. Also want to replay something Houston Street told us last year about the way he approaches these save situations. But, RJ, I want to get to some Twitter questions first.
Yeah.
A lot of bullpen talk, as you would expect.
I would anticipate that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. First, though, we start with Sonia and Dorian, I think. I didn't tell Blooper what order to do these in. Mea culpa. My bad, Blooper. Sonia and Dorian are up first. There we go. And they say, being on the East Coast, if the Padres were down two runs, turn it off. Go to sleep. Definitely not the case this season so far. And yeah, you've heard similar sentiment from people, whether they're on the East Coast or whether they're, like, right here next to Petco Park. Last year, it was easy to sort of say, all right, you know, move on when they were down. And this year, it's the complete opposite. It's incredible.
It really has. And you're getting acclimated. And also, you know, most of that exposure is going to go to Sean Kelly. He's been struggling. You know, his first three outings weren't real good. He had a couple of good ones early in this trip, you know. But once again, struggled with location, I thought, last night. And, you know, it's probably a concern. But any little things like Benoit giving, you know, hanging a fastball for a home run, you know, to get him, you know, that close. You know, that's a disappointing thing. He kind of gets magnified, you know, and everybody says, well, let's send him down and do this and do that.
Yeah.
You know, baseball is not quite that simple. It's a little more complicated than that.
Right.
And if it was, you know, Sean Kelly, a veteran guy, he's got to right the ship. He's got to do a better job. He's sitting here beside me, he'd say the same thing.
All right, we'll get a little bit more into that, I'm sure, as the show goes on. Next tweet, Blooper, comes from Joe. And he says, did I hear right that Norris has thrown out as many runners this year as he did all of last year? Technically, I think. I think they took one away because the guy tried to go on a wild pitch, so he doesn't get a catcher caught stealing for that.
Yeah, we're giving him one, though.
One of those. Okay, we are?
Yeah.
All right, I think technically and officially he's got seven.
Right.
Last year he had eight. But whether it's seven or eight, I mean, the point is that he's been unbelievable back there.
We're talking about 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Last year he had eight all year.
He's got 7 or 8, depending on who you ask right now.
And we can't even get to May 1 before he might be in double digits.
Now, I said, look, some of the reputation might be a little bit unfair, but I also want to make the point that Derek Norris, I saw it during spring training, has worked very, very hard on this, as have all the catchers. Riley Westman was brought in by A.J. Preller as, like, the catching instructor coordinator.
Yes.
I forget his official title. I apologize. But he worked so much with these guys, the big league catchers and the minor league catchers, during spring training. I was fascinated by it. I've always been fascinated by that part of the game. I think catching, to me, is the most interesting part of baseball. And watching Riley work with all of the catchers during spring training, I would find myself just standing there, and then all of a sudden 20 or 30 minutes would have gone by, and I was just watching them do these little drills.
The little drills.
Things I'd never seen before, yes. Catchers working on it. Yeah. So Derek Norris, I'm sure, has been working really, really hard on all of these things.
You know, you have no idea how hard Derek Norris has worked. Not only does he have to prepare the offensive side of the game, he has to work on that and his hitting, but as he has to learn a whole new pitching staff and their tendencies. That took all spring training. Still a work in progress, in my opinion. You know, and overall, and to be throwing the guys out like he is, you know, hey, it's great. But like I say, it's a combination, I think, of everything. But most importantly, it's him and his mechanics and getting rid of the ball, you know, a quick release. He's doing great.
Yeah, there's so much that goes into it, right? Oh. It's footwork, it's handwork, it's, of course, the arm and the accuracy and the throw.
Pitcher keeping him a half a step closer.
Yeah.
You know, but I think it shocked. I think he's thrown at least 3 guys at third base, if not 4.
Yeah.
That's what's shocking me. What are these people doing?
And sometimes it's with a right-handed batter up there, like we saw a couple of nights ago, which obviously raises the level of difficulty for the catcher. But, yeah, there's at least 1 or 2 with the left-handed batter up there. I mean, the door's open, right?
Yes.
I mean, that makes it real simple for the catcher.
Real simple for him. And he's got a strong arm. He's getting it done.
How long do these scouting reports take to get around where they're going to stop trying to push the issue?
I think the memo should be out by now. Hey, slow down the running game a little bit. Norris is throwing a lot better.
How much can that help a pitcher controlling the running game, having a catcher back there that's got a good reputation?
Oh, it makes all the difference in the world.
Yeah.
You know, and also frees up maybe the ability. Some catchers have to get nervous, get a tendency. They'll call more fastballs with a runner on, trying to get a fastball when he's going to steal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and now all of a sudden you're going to get that reputation, you know, then like Molina does in with the Cardinals. You know, now you can throw breaking balls and off-speed pitches because they're less reluctant to run, to go on you.
Very interesting. All right, let's move on from catching a little bit. Donna wants to talk about hitting. Donna wants to know, I guess they didn't take batting practice yesterday, which isn't the most uncommon thing in the world, you know, over the course of a long series or a long trip.
Well,
and she says, do you think that hurt the Padres yesterday that they didn't take BP?
I'm a little bit slower start. Didn't hurt Solarte, obviously, in the
first inning
home run.
Yeah.
You know, but I thought it was kind of funny where the Rockies got their hitting in.
Mm-hmm.
Then they tarped up the field because of a little bit of a moisture.
Oh, you're suggesting that there could be some foul play.
Well,
we did talk to Dennis T. Lynn of the UT yesterday. He was at Coors Field, and he said, yeah, they've got the tarp out, and I don't know why. That was I'm paracing, but that's essentially what he said. He said, it's not raining, but they've got the tarp out on the field before the game.
Game inside the game.
All right.
A little bit.
So you think there might have been some hijinks there, some tomfoolery?
Might be trying to change the Rockies' luck.
All right.
I don't know.
That kind of thing. Yeah, look, you'd always prepare. You'd always prefer to stay within your routine, right?
That's right.
You'd always prefer to stay within your routine, and more work is better than less work.
Yeah, now all of a sudden you're down in the cage just trying to get your timing instead of on the field.
Yeah. Now, all of that said, I'm not going to say the reason the Padres lost last night was not being able to take batting practice. I would say that
they had a lead going into the eighth.
That's it.
I wouldn't call that.
Had a lead going into the eighth, and then those infielders for the Rockies, they did their part too. I mean,
the left side of that infield is scary.
And LeMahieu's maybe the best of the three of them defensively at second.
Nobody's better than Arenado at third.
He's I know the fans.
He is the Brooks Robinson of 2000.
He really
is.
I know. The Peanut Gallery, you guys, you don't like hearing about Nolan Arenado. It's a legitimate talking point. He's that good. He really is.
Good.
It's
he
special.
He really is that good.
And there were runs saved. The Myers won in the seventh. That's 2 runs. That's
easy.
It. That's the difference in the game.
That's, you know, and that ball was well hit. But just, he makes every single play. He makes every difficult play. And then Tulowitzki, he joins the bandwagon, made a great play in the hole.
Yeah.
You know, to take us out of that rally.
Yeah. No, I mean, they're really – they're excessively good, like exclusive company good.
If I'm on the mound, I want him at third base.
Yeah.
I'm on the mound.
For sure.
Yeah.
All right. So, all right, enough of Arenado. I know they hate when we talk about Arenado, but – He made a huge difference in the game last night.
He did.
Much more than not being able to take batting practice. All right, we got to take a break when we come back. We'll talk current bullpen, and we'll also talk closer mentality here from both Craig Kimbrell and Houston Street. For all Padres home games, San Diego County first responders receive special pricing on tickets through verification by GovX. 25% off all tickets all season long. More info and tickets at Padres.com/first responder. That's cool. Check it out. Padres.com/first responder. We'll talk bullpen when we return. Padres Social Hour presented by United Airlines.
We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
Welcome back to the show with Randy Jones. I'm Jesse Agler. We are at the AMR studio at Petco Park here in the Western Metal Supply Company building at beautiful Petco Park. This place will be rocking Friday, Saturday, Sunday against the Dodgers.
It'll be crazy.
Continued long game, long homestand, 10 games. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Dodgers. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, interleague play against the Houston Astros. Used to be in the National League. No mas. And not only that, but the Wednesday game against Houston, the first way back Wednesday. Brown uniforms,
brown
baby.
Brown uniforms, that's right.
The mid-late 80s Brown uniforms will be out there for that day game on Wednesday. And then these Rockies, right? That's the back end of the homestand. These same Rockies come for three the following weekend. So 10 games. L.A., Houston, and Colorado.
With an off day at home.
On Thursday, which is always really nice for
big,
those players.
That's big,
man. That's always a really, really nice deal. All right, we got a bunch of tweets, as you know, coming in regarding the bullpen. All right, so what are you seeing? What are you seeing? I mean, Sean Kelly is somebody everybody wants to talk about. Benoit last night left one up. We saw him do that earlier in the season as well. It's not what it was last year so far. And, again, you do all of this with the asterisk that it's only April 23rd. What do you make of the bullpen situation?
Well, you know, I'm not one to panic, you know, and I think you definitely get, you know, kept the best arms that we have, and we have a couple more down there if we need them, you know. But, I think that right now, Sean Kelly, I'm just seeing mistakes. You know, even Benoit, as well as he pitched, but, you know, you leave a pitch up like that, you know, right now, especially fastballs and Coors Field. Sean Kelly just – not good command. I mean, you know, without that, then throwing a lot more sliders, but been struggling with that, with his location on that. And when he's not getting that breaking ball over, that exposes the fastball. Let's see, up in the zone. Even Buddy Black mentioned all his problems have been really up.
So what do you do there?
Well, you keep working, you keep pounding, and, you know, and working on your craft. That's all. It's just a matter of getting into that groove and staying in that groove. And it's going to happen. You know, plenty of momentum. Our kind of righted the ship. He struggled his first couple times out. Now he's settled in, you know, throwing 94, 95 in much better spots. So, you know, I'm not putting too much. It's kind of disappointing for them to come back and not win those ball games with the expectations we have with the bullpen. But I'm confident they're going to right the ship and be as good as ever.
All right. A name we've heard a lot from fans, especially during some of these struggles, is Kevin Quackenbush.
Right.
We all saw what he was capable of last year. Had a nice solid spring training. When the Kimbrel trade is made, that last day before the season started, April 5th, he was optioned to AAA El Paso. Part of that, of course, is that he could be optioned.
That is
not
correct.
All of these guys are capable of that. So what do you think?
Well, I mean, I don't see – they're not going to pull the trigger, I don't think, right now. I think there's no room to panic. And you got to remember, you know, the big name Sean Kelly keeps coming up. He's the one that's kind of really struggled out of the bullpen this first couple of weeks. You know, but if you can't option him out.
Right.
Jesse, he's out of options. So, I mean, if you try to option him out, you know, he's going to go somewhere else. We're going to lose him. You know, and I think he's too good of a pitcher to quit on right now. I mean, push come to shove, you continue not to get the job done. We all know it's obvious. It's a performance-driven game. You know, and then you will see Quackenbush, but I don't.
What's
see
the
right
amount
now.
Of time, I guess? That's probably the question everybody's sitting there wondering to themselves as they drive around or they watch at home. How long does this continue before, you know, something a little bit more drastic like making a move like that takes place?
That's going to be up to Sean Kelly in this bullpen. You know, he's going to continue to go out there. But, hey, once Buddy gets to a point where he doesn't trust you and he won't put you out there anymore, that's the time for a change.
Okay.
It really is.
Okay. That's not a definite answer, but I think a very fair answer.
It's a fair answer.
To that question. You know, Betty chimes in. Well, you know, Rierich, why Rierich? Rierich's not the issue here. They wanted a second lefty in the bullpen, and Rierich did a sensational job during spring training. He's earned this opportunity.
He has.
I'm not picking on Chris Rierich at all. I don't think he's one of the guys to pick on at this point. You know, it's been a little bit of a struggle at times for other guys. You know, the Benoit thing, you tend not to worry as much, even though it's been a couple of tough ones, because he's got this resume and he's got this deep history of being able to get it done. But it is all something to keep an eye on right now. I think it absolutely is
something
we got to pay attention to.
I think you got to pay attention to it, and I'm sure Darren Balsley and Buddy Black and AJ are paying attention to this.
No question.
It's a vital part of it, especially the specialty part of the game that we have today.
Huge part.
Yeah, you know, you got Dale Thayer, you know, getting the job done, but got a couple guys not quite getting the job done that's expected of them, and it's going to be, you know, it's performance-driven. If they're not getting the job done here in a couple of weeks, I think you will see changes.
Is it possible that we have unfair expectations for the bullpen
because of how good they were last year? No doubt in my mind we do.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Sure.
If it's anybody's fault, it's their fault.
Yeah, they were too good last
year. Blame them.
Like, that's the thing. We got spoiled last year.
It was, and the year before.
And it was unrealistic to sort of have that kind of production again. But, look, when the expectations for the whole club are raised.
That's right.
And when the offense is now doing their part, it does sting a little bit, you know, to watch, you know, the bullpen give it up.
It really does hurt, you know, especially the two games on this road trip. That hurts.
Yeah. Now, that said, it's still a winning road trip. No matter what happens today, it's a winning road trip. But you'd obviously like to take this one home. All right, I want to do this Craig Kimbrell Houston Street stuff.
Beautiful.
So that we're not rushed. We'll take a break and do it when we come back. But I want to hear your thoughts, Randy Jones, on the different approaches that this year's closer and the guy that was here for a few years prior, Houston Street, have when they come into games and sort of the mentality of trying to pick up the save at the big league level. As your hometown pet retailer, Petco is proud to partner with the Padres in Petco Park. Thank you, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for pets and baseball. Petco, the power of together. We'll take a break. Come back. Hear from Houston Street and Craig Kimbrell how they approach the ninth inning and a save situation.
Welcome back to the AMR studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back, Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines. With Randy Jones, I'm Jesse Agler. Fourth and final game of the series, seventh and final game of the road trip, coming up at 12:10. A 12:10 first pitch at Coors Field in Denver, Colorado. Tyson Ross and Jordan Lyles, a couple of right-handed pitchers out there.
Yeah, Lyles is a big boy, 6'4". 6'4", right-hander.
Yeah, a couple of big guys. Yes. A couple of big guys right there. So Ross and Lyles, a different-looking lineup for the Padres today. We'll get to that in a couple of minutes and give you a look at how Buddy Black has set his batting order today. As you'd expect for this day game, final game of the trip, a little bit non-traditional, which I'm totally okay with. But
I wonder if the ball carries during the day further at Mile High Stadium.
If
you're a mile high.
Yeah. No,
I wonder if that makes a difference.
Probably. There's some atmospheric conditions that differ a little bit. I'm too new to the NL West to know that. I'm sure somebody knows that. If it's different there, or if the thin air is just thin, it doesn't matter day or night.
I just never really paid attention. I know the ball just flies there. So.
Right. Yeah, no,
I don't know if it matters.
Think about it too much.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's do this. Bullpen, right? A lot of talk about the bullpen. I wanted to take another angle at the bullpen. Craig Kimbrell was here the first homestand of the season, and we talked to him about his approach in the ninth inning and in the save situation. I thought it was fascinating. And Blooper, our producer, had a great observation. He says, hey, I remember we had Houston Street on last year, and it was a completely different kind of conversation. Now, look, both guys, incredibly effective closers. Houston obviously goes about it very differently.
Completely different way.
From a stuff standpoint and an approach standpoint than Craig Kimbrell. So I want to do some compare and contrast here. So we're going to play you Houston Street first. We were talking last year, I think in the summer, before he was traded, obviously, to the Angels, about how he approaches it. There was a game against the Marlins where he sort of, you could tell he was working around certain guys, working to certain guys, you know, different pitches. So here you go, Houston Street on how he approaches a save situation.
You've got certain hitters in certain situations. I faced Alexi Ramirez the other day with a 3-run lead, 2 outs, nobody on. And we called first pitch slider because he's a guy that historically swings at the first pitch. And an inning can start almost instantly. So you want to be aware of that. But one-run games, it's more about keeping the ball down. Make them beat you with 3 singles. A 2-run lead, it's a lot of it is if you get a guy on base, picking the at-bat. We saw the game against Miami where I got a guy on base. Mm-hmm. And got a couple outs, then faced Stanton and then McGahee. And those two guys, at that time, I think Stanton is doing what Stanton's doing.
Right.
And so I kind of pitched around him. And McGahee, I made the conscious choice of I have 2 outs. I'm going to make sure I get ahead with my pitch. And if I don't get ahead with my pitch, then I'll just walk him and move on to the next guy, mm-hmm. which was Baker. So you've got all of those situations, but regardless, when I'm running in on the into the game, my mentality, my single thought is get the first guy out. And then as I make my warm-up pitches and I circle the mound and I get the ball, my single thought is make this pitch. Just make this pitch. And if you make pitches, the results take care of themselves.
All right, really interesting stuff yes. from last year with Houston Street, sort of the way he approaches it, how he sets up certain guys, how he might, you know, work to one guy as opposed to a different guy, all that kind of thing.
I think you got to remember, too, the scouting reports are so precise and good these days. They're so well prepared. You know, from Tyson Ross, the starter, to anybody, you know, you're down there and you're going over, you know who the first three hitters are, they ain't going to be. Mm-hmm. You know exactly who you're going to face. And so you already got in your own mind how you want to go about it.
Yeah. All right. So that was Houston Street last year. Here's Craig Kimbrell from a couple of weeks ago. Listen to how he approaches the situation.
I'm not going to tell you I go out there and I'm trying to set guys up. You know, my makeup is I'm going to give you my best pitch. And if you hit it, you hit it. If you don't, you don't. I'm not going to try to nibble. I'm not going to try to hit a corner. I'm just going to try to throw my best pitch and just try to overpower the hitter.
There you go. That's it. Totally different. I thought that's a great study in contrast right there.
Oh, well.
Because both guys incredibly effective and just completely – now, again, totally different stuff. You know, Houston Street's not coming out there throwing 97, 98 with an 86-mile-an-hour curveball that falls off the table. But it's I was fascinated by that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that, you know, when you talk about Kimbrell, he's going to go out there. He's throwing dead red. He's throwing fastballs and coming after you unless Derek Norris gives him a curveball sign. I think that's the only time he throws a breaking ball is when he's told to.
Right.
I really believe that.
He just wants to throw the fastball.
Yeah, here it is, 97.
And why wouldn't you if you could do that?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I thought that was so cool. And it kind of made me think about, you know, a couple of nights ago with the two-run lead, Nick Hundley. You know, Kimbrell, knowing it's a two-run lead, probably not all that worried about challenging him with a fastball in that first at-bat of the inning.
Exactly. And a great point. And one-run lead, completely different. You know, and I think like what Houston's talking about in the slider and the way he finessed his way, you know, through his saves. I mean, he really had to keep the ball down and pitch really well and use that scouting report. You know, but Kimbrell's a little bit like me. I mean, scouting report, I had a sinker ball and a slider. I mean, you got a 50-50 chance, gang. Pick one. I mean, I'm not going to recruit. I'm going to reinvent the wheel when I went out there.
Yeah.
You just got to figure out what speed I'm going to throw it, and that was my fun part of it. But Kimbrell, here it is.
Yeah.
97, good luck. I'm throwing it over the plate. I don't know if it's going to be in or if it's going to be out, really. Good luck to you.
Yeah. And
I love it.
Yeah, it was neat. So anyway, I thought that was just kind of a fun way to look at that, hearing from those two different guys and how they sort of take different approaches. And, you know, it's cool because he's Houston Street, you know, very analytical and sort of, you know, talks. He sounds like a college professor right there, right? Like he's
exactly.
teaching a PhD course in pitching. And Craig Kimbrell's like, yeah, I'm just going to come right at you and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, good luck to you.
And obviously it's worked out really, really well for both of those guys. But it's fun hearing how different people approach the same thing different ways. And they've got to.
Yeah. And I would think most time in that 19 situation, a lot more people would rather probably face Houston Street than Kimbrell.
Yes.
Definitely.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any question about that. But they both get the job done, and they're both guys that have been at the absolute top of the closer game here in the National League over the last however many years, and in the American League for Houston Street as well. All right, we keep mentioning today's starting lineup for Buddy Black. It is a little bit different. The lineup has been really at any point this season. I don't think we've seen this particular iteration of a starting eight for the Padres so far this year, but kind of what you would expect, day game, final game of the series. So let's throw it up there, Blooper. The Padres starting lineup presented by United Airlines, proud to fly the Padres and fans to every away game. United, fly the friendly skies. Padres will be on the United charter on the way back to San Diego after this afternoon's game. Will Myers leading off in center field. Corey Spangenberg will start at second and hit second. Matt Kemp in his familiar spot, batting third and right. Solarte, who's been red hot, cleans up. He's going to start at third base today. Yonder Alonso will bat fifth at first base. Will Venable starting for Justin Upton in left at the sixth hole. Alexi Amarista playing shortstop, batting seventh. And Will Nieves, no surprise, getting a start behind the dish, his third, hitting eighth. Tyson Ross, the pitcher, ninth. So you got Spangenberg at second, Solarte at third, Venable in left, Amarista at short, Nieves catching. Those are sort of the quote-unquote different things in this starting lineup today.
Giving some guys a rest, I think, is a good call, good move. Still a solid lineup, three left-handed hitters in the middle of that lineup. It's a right-handed pitcher. I see where Buddy's going with that. Good idea.
Yeah, and look, we're sitting here saying sort of colloquially, hey, it's a day off for Derek Norris, a day off for Justin Upton, Middlebrooks. Those guys are all available.
Yeah, you're not getting a start.
Yeah.
You're available.
It's not a day off.
Don't be surprised.
If it's a pinch hit situation in the seventh or eighth or ninth innings, you'll probably see those guys.
Yes, definitely.
Best case scenario, though, you roll to victory.
That's it.
Everybody gets
to
rest.
Will Nieves has been catching Tyson Ross. We see that.
Third time,
third time. So that's always good. That means they're working well together, and that's always good.
Can I get a Will Nieves Grand Slam prediction out of you for today?
No. No.
How wild would that be?
That'd be crazy.
That'd be pretty outstanding.
Absolutely insane.
Oh, man, good stuff. All right, join the Padres and the Baseball Tomorrow Fund to help youth baseball and softball programs here in San Diego. On May 3rd and May 17th, you can bring new or used equipment to Petco Park to donate. Little League Day, man, this is great stuff. The first one coming up May 3rd. It's the Baseball Tomorrow Fund. You help youth baseball and softball programs in the area bring your new or gently used equipment.
Yeah, they can really use it, man. You know, a lot of times you get out there and you don't realize these kids, some of them don't have equipment.
Yeah, and you get them some good stuff there. So hope everybody's able to participate in that. We'll take a break, come back, got some more Twitter questions coming in using that hashtag PadresSH. The show continues from the AMR studio right after this.
You want some Padres talk?
We've got that.
Padres Social Hour returns now, presented by United Airlines.
Welcome back. Broadcasting from the AMR studio at Petco Park. We're here in the team store, Randy, and so that means anybody who comes in and does shopping during more normal business hours, we can interact with them. And usually it's a lovely thing to interact with the Padre fans as they're getting ready. We just ran into some Dodger fans, though. They're already
Dodger
here
fans.
For the weekend.
Well, it turned out they just got off a cruise right
yeah.
here.
Well, it's good. They're spending some money in downtown San Diego. Yeah, we appreciate that.
So they're running around downtown San Diego awaiting tomorrow's.
They were nice, though. Well, to be fair, they were like nice
yeah,
Dodger
they
fans.
They were nice.
They weren't obnoxious in your face people. They were just sort of happy to be here. They were enjoying the view.
I was curious, though. The guy behind him had a Giants hat on.
Oh, my gosh.
So I was kind of anticipating maybe a brawl in the Pottery store. But
they were like 60 years old. They're not going to brawl.
You never know.
I guess.
They get the RA. You never know what
can happen. They just came off a cruise ship. They're probably about as relaxed as they'll ever be.
True.
What do you make of that, by the way, from a fan standpoint? I saw some at Coors, right? So you've got the Padres and the Rockies, right? So you've got Padre fans in their gear, Rocky fans in their gear. But then the guy in, like, the Dodger hat.
Yeah.
Like, what's that?
Where does he come from?
Thumbs up or thumbs down to wearing the third team's gear in a game? What do you make
well,
of that?
Well, I mean, you can't help that. I mean, you're a baseball fan. I get it. But
like, yeah. So if you went to a Dodger-Giant game at AT&T Park, would you wear your Padre hat? Or would you just not wear anything because they're not involved in the game?
I'd wear a Padre hat.
You would?
I would.
Okay. Oh, I like that. I'm just
curious. Let them know where my allegiance is.
Right.
And that's all the guy on the Dodger hat or the Brewer hat or whatever he's wearing.
It's always a good fan conversation. I'm curious what people think about that. Whether you think the third team's hat at the ballpark is appropriate or just a little bit weird.
Well, the only thing that really could be stupid, if you're wearing Padre stuff in Colorado and you're sitting behind the Colorado dugout, you should get your head
swapped. Well, what if, like, you got tickets from the office or something?
You know, get on the other side.
Well, that's where your seats are.
Get behind your dugout.
I don't know, man. So if you're a Padre fan who lives in Denver and your office is like, hey, we got, you know, four tickets to the game, fifth row behind the Colorado dugout, you're not going to say no.
Trade some yahoo over there. Trade.
Fine. That seems like a lot of work, I got to tell you. Walking all the way to the other side, finding some guy to trade it off with.
Walking all the way to the other side. I'm going to smack you.
You're going to make these guys work for
their
tickets, man. All right, let's get to some Twitter questions here. A lot of bullpen talk today after Sean Kelly and Joaquin Benoit gave up some runs yesterday. Brian checks in from the Peanut Gallery, and he says, hey, if Sean Kelly is our biggest worry, this is going to be a great year.
I agree.
Look at that positivity from Brian.
Hey, 100%. I mean, it's not like Sean Kelly is. You know, a veteran guy, been around for years, and you know, we know the makeup and everything, and, you know, he's not happy about the way he's starting out, but, hey, let's let it warm up. He'll be fine.
Okay. Next one comes from Jose. Good question, by the way. Hey, Jesse, did the shortstop situation die down, or is it still alive? I feel like it's gone to the back burner a little
back
bit.
Back burner.
But, I mean, Clint Barma started a few games. Now Amarista's back for a couple. I don't know that it's died down, but here's the good thing, right? Both guys are producing. So it doesn't really become a huge conversation
yeah,
piece.
Marmosi's picked up. He had a home run and a single and then his next start. So either way, and Maurice is, you know, doing his job. And either one of them on the defensive side of the baseball, I'd take all day long.
So what do you make of this? Where are we at right now with that?
I think it's on the back
Same
burner.
Thing?
I think it's the back burner.
Just kind of go lefty-righty but not strictly
well,
platoon?
You overall watch this ball for the last 2 weeks. I mean, do you see any really alarms going off?
No, that's the point. That's
the
great,
point.
Right?
That's right.
I mean, that's the absolute best part of all of this is that it's not a huge conversation piece because both guys are kind of doing their thing.
Guys are playing good baseball. The shortstops are doing their job. You know, seems to be a little more concerned. Might be second base right now.
Yeah.
With Jed Gyrkle struggling with the bat, honestly. Another day off today.
That was going to be my follow-up question for you. Yeah. Buddy said yesterday before the game they have discussed a straight platoon situation with Solarte and Gyrkle at second.
Well, right now, I mean, Solarte is swinging the bat so well And that's the one spot to get Solarte's bat in there where Jed Jerko's not getting it done with the bat on the offensive side. Let's get real. I'm not stating anything we all haven't seen. And it gives him an opportunity to, you know, to work with Alonzo Powell and Mark Kotze and work on getting on top of the baseball.
Is there a point of diminishing returns, though, where if the guy is not playing, he's not going to be able to get better?
Yes. Yeah. I think that's – but if you're talking about a platoon situation, he is going to be out there, you know, 2 or 3 days a week for sure. He's going to be in the lineup if you're platooning.
Okay. All right. All interesting stuff right there. You can send more of your Twitter questions in using the hashtag PadresSH. How about this nugget from last night, Randy Jones? Yesterday, 16th game of the season, the first time all year that neither Kemp nor Upton reached base. Took 16 games for that to happen.
And that's incredible, isn't it, Jesse?
That is incredible. So a couple of things there. A, I think it's awesome that it took that long for that to happen.
Exactly.
And B, the Padres were very much in the game. Like, it didn't hurt them. I mean, and that's, again, credit to Solarte and Spangenberg and Norris and Myers and everybody else who was involved because they picked up Upton
picking up the slack. But I just think the momentum and the camaraderie I've seen with these guys, they're starting to gel together really well. But I still think it's a work in progress. You know, but right now, there's everything that I see, everybody pulling on the rope together. I mean, there's a lot of great energy in the clubhouse, in the dugout, and I think overall that you're seeing some of that, and it's going to happen. You're going to get that point where Kemp and Upton aren't going to get it done. They're going to be 0-for-4, you know, but more times than not, you know, they're impact players and they're going to make something happen. But it's a great indication that everybody else picked up the slack yesterday. And we still had an opportunity to win that ball game.
Yeah, no, I agree with all of that. And Upton not in the lineup today, but Kemp is. But, yeah, 16 games before we reached one where they were both held off base.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
How good does Buddy feel knowing he's got those two guys sitting on the bench can pinch hit for you?
Yeah, that's not bad.
He.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's got to be enjoying himself this year.
Yeah.
I heard him on with Chris Russo on MLB Network this morning. And obviously, you get to be around Buddy, although it's been a little bit now because of the road trip. And he's really enjoying this. You know, he's got a really, really good team.
I certainly hope he's enjoying this.
And you can tell he's having a good time. So a few moments ago I asked, you know, people's thoughts on the third-party gear at the stadiums. It's coming back somewhat unanimously that everybody says, no, you wear whatever you – wear. You represent your Padres gear no matter what.
Yeah.
So if you live in Houston and your buddy says, hey, you want to come to the Astros-Rangers game, all good. Two thumbs up for wearing your Padre gear to that. Bob says, silly boy, it's called represent. You wear your Padres stuff anywhere in the world. What's wrong with you? And, of course, he suggested I need a Dr. Pepper because that's all he ever talks about.
Oh, man.
Brian says he lives in Nebraska, and he wears his Padre hat everywhere. So that's cool, man. Ghost of Ray Kroc says he went to a D-backs Cubs game in Phoenix, and he wore his Padres gear there.
Were they wearing blue or were they wearing brown and gold? That's what I'm kind of curious about.
I think we know.
I think we got a pretty
good idea. But, yeah, no, okay, so it's coming back all unanimously, and everybody says, yeah, man, third party doesn't matter.
Are you going to wear brown and gold next Wednesday?
I'm doing the game on TV for Way Back Wednesday. And now, mind you, these are the 85 through 89 uniforms.
I understand.
So that's more of a brown and orange situation.
It's still brown and brown.
More brown and orange. So, you might have to tune in to Fox Sports San Diego for that 12:40 first pitch. Yeah. I was actually going through my closet today, and I said, aha, I have something planned.
Well, I was crushed. Not wearing your Padres socks today. I don't understand.
I can't wear them every day.
Well, don't you have more than one pair?
I have two.
Two?
Yeah, I have two. I have a yellow pair and a brown pair.
Folks, I'm going to take him shopping as soon as we get done.
I think having two pairs of Padre socks is a pretty significant number.
Whoa.
How many pairs of Padre socks do you own?
Oh, 6, 7.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Well, you've been around here a lot. This is only my second year. So I've got one pair of socks for every season around.
When you wear boots, you wear baseball sanitaries underneath them.
Do you really?
Always. They're great. They're the great.
What boots. About stirrups over the sannies? Do you have those? Are you wearing stirrups under your cowboy boots?
No, not yet.
I like that idea, though. All right, this Friday, that's tomorrow, the season's first beer fest here at Petco Park. Check out beers from 18 local and national breweries. First pour at 5 p.m., and all beers are $5. You get in just with your ticket to the game against the Dodgers. What a way to spend your Friday night tomorrow. 5 p.m., park at the park. You bring your game ticket, and you get into beer fest. All the beers, $5. Get your tickets now if you don't have them already at Padres.com/party. Padres.com/party. Take a break. Come back. Wrap up Padres Social Hour right after this.
From start to finish, it's the best 60 minutes of Padres talk you'll find anywhere. Now, from the AMR studio, it's more of Padres Social Hour.
Wrapping up Padres Social Hour on this Thursday morning. First pitch about 15 minutes away from Coors Field. Tyson Ross and Jordan Lyles. Randy Jones, we've talked an awful lot today about wearing a third team's hat or jersey at a game that team is not involved in.
Right.
Rick, our buddy RJ Sfro, he says, I never wear pod stuff at non-pods games, but I do wear the colors. So he's got his own little twist on it. Very interesting take, RJ.
Nice, bro.
Hope your knee is doing better. Hey, that's it for us. We're back tomorrow at 5:30 for the start of the series against the Dodgers. Let's go get 3 out of 4 in Colorado.
Love it.